to the book of Acts this evening, please. I desire your prayers as we try to preach the message tonight. I sure need them, and I know God's able to give us what we need. Amen, in spite of me. Acts chapter number 9, and we'll begin reading in verse number 36. Acts chapter number 9, and verse number 36. The Lord took the message in the direction He wanted it to go. Sometimes I'll say He took it in another direction, but His direction's always right. Amen. And we'll do our best with your prayers to preach what God's laid on our heart. The Bible says, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. For as much as Lydia was nigh unto to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to him. And then Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner." Let's pray. Father, we do bow before you tonight, Lord, in need. And Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that there is a rest of the story. And I'm thankful we can talk to you today. And Lord, what a blessing it is to have access to the throne of grace. And Lord, we're feeble people. And Lord, we're frail people mentally and spiritually. And Lord, even physically. But Lord, I'm glad you can give us your strength. And you can put your mind in us and speak through us. And I ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would help me tonight, enable me tonight, and touch every heart to hear where you know what we all stand in need of. We pray you cleanse us from sins of omission and commission and touch lives. And we give you praise for all that you do for us. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen and amen. I'm going to try again to preach tonight on the thought of Dorcas, a picture of a backslidden Christian restored, or the danger of falling out or failure is not final. This is the name Dorcas, this lady. She is a type of a first mention. And Dorcas was the first female Greek mention in the New Testament. Now again, we talked about her town this morning being a place called Joppa. That was a seaport city about 35 miles from Jerusalem. And we also knew her talent or gift was garment making. And we knew that her testimony was a lady that was full of good works and good deeds. We see a picture here of her being a follower of Christ, her being a child of God, and her being diligent in doing what the Lord gave her to do. Now, again, there's a tragedy here. The Bible said that she got sick and that she died. But then there's also a touch here, a picture of restoration, of course. The Lord gave Peter an apostolic power to work through him and raised her up. Now, I'm going to say this, and I know maybe some listening you might disagree, but the days of the apostles ended. The apostolic commission ended when John, the beloved, died. When he died on the Isle of Patmos, the apostolic age is over. The Bible said God gave some apostles, not everybody. He gave some prophets, not everybody. He gave some pastors, that's where we are, and some teachers. That is where we are today. And a lot of people say, well, I'm an apostle. Well, if you are, you can't have anything. According to Matthew chapter 10, chapter 5, you can't have anything. Amen. You can't have nothing. And as a matter of fact, you can only preach to Jews. Now, I know we're in a transition. I'm glad the Gentiles got in. But when the Lord called those, there were certain things they could not do. Couldn't take a dime. Couldn't even carry a dollar. They had to go from place to place and pray God, somebody open the door for them. Let them stay with them and feed them. He said, if they won't receive you, shake the dust off of your feet. That'll be a witness against that city. So again, you might want the title of apostle, but I don't know if you want the task of one. And all of them died a martyr's death, but one. And they tried to boil him, but he wouldn't die. God wouldn't finish with him. But anyway, God used Peter greatly. We talk about Paul being the apostle of the Gentiles, but God also gave Peter word to the Gentiles. What a blessing. But I want to notice this lady. Again, this is not a new message, but the Lord really put it in my heart the last few weeks, and just now let me preach it. But I want to notice how she was going good, and something happened, and she was out. She fell out, and then God intervened. And in this account of what happened, God's given us the Acts of the Apostle, and He's given this account here of this lady. And there's a spiritual application to be made here. Of course, we see all that happened. God is all powerful. God's stronger than death. You say, preacher, can God still raise from the dead if He wants to? Amen. I've heard testimony. People said, they said I was dead so long, God brought me back. He said, oh, that's hogwash. Well, if He can do it then, He can do it now if He sees fit. I mean, well, don't put Him in a box. He still has the same power over death. That's right. But anyway, I want to take a little walk here and look at this text, and I'll be finished. Now, in verse number 36... we're going to find her in several different things here. And that's kind of going to be the topic. We find her in verse 36, joyful in service. Notice verse number 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation, disciple means servant, by the way. She wasn't a preacher. Which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Full. That gives us the idea of her joy. You know, preacher, I've just been so full today. You know what I mean? I've just been full today, preacher. Man, God's been blessing me today. She lived her life being full. She was full of good deeds. She was full. She was joyful in service. That word full means covered over. Joyful in. And so, what a great picture. A Christian will never have true joy unless they're doing something for Jesus. A Christian never have full joy unless they're doing something for the cause of Christ and help people see Christ and get saved. So, preacher, I don't know why I never have any joy. What are you doing for Jesus? See, the devil's lied to a lot of us and said, well, if you serve the Lord, you're going to have all this trouble. And you're going to have trouble if you do something for Him or not. Rains on the just and the unjust. So, therefore, to have true joy and contentment is to not just let what God did in you sit there. Paul said, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. In other words, what God put in there, work it out on the outside. God knows my heart, but we don't. The world don't. How are they going to see Jesus and what you're working out of your life? What are you doing? Folks, what you do for Christ is all that matters in this world. That's right. What we do for Jesus is all. And to have true joy Have that fullness is to be about the Father's business. Jesus even made that statement, and he put himself under subjection to Joseph and Mary, but he said, "Wish ye not." Luke 2:49. I must be about my Father's business. He said, I can't be content on this earth if I'm not doing the Father's will. In other words, there's no contentment, there's no joy, there's no fulfillment in my life if I cannot do the will of God for my life. Now, I understand God changes our direction, but His will is always right. So what a blessing to see this lady with this victory. Isn't that a beautiful sight? She was full of alms deeds and good works. And she didn't say it about herself. Luke's writing this under divine inspiration. God's saying it. I mean, that's a testimony. I mean, people recognized her. She was a servant. Her joy come from her service. Her contentment come from serving God. Christian, you know, if you want contentment, you got to serve Him. Amen. If you want true contentment in your life, you got to serve the Lord. That's right. I don't know how much simpler I can put that. That's right. Pew warmers are not content people. That's right. You understand, I repeat this. You understand, if the only reason God saved you is to take you to heaven, He took you the day He saved you. Let me say that again. If the only reason God saved you was to take you to heaven, He took you the day you got saved. I went on to heaven in 1983. No, He saved me on purpose for a purpose. Yes, to take me to heaven, but He had a plan. Amen. And so I see people, I see God's people. I'm not talking, hey, what she was doing wasn't out in front. She's out in the back helping widows learn to sew. She's out back making sure the homeless had a coat, making garments. She wasn't in the limelight. There wasn't no spotlight on her. But you know what? God made sure her name got put in the Bible. The Lord made sure she got put in the Word of God. That's not an accident. So, we see this. But now, let's take it. We're going to do a little downward spiraling first. We see her joyful in service. Now in verse 37, we see her joyless in sorrow. We see her joyful in service in verse 36. We see her busy about the Father's business, having a wonderful time serving the Lord. But then in verse 37, we find her joyless in sorrows. Look at verse 37. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in the upper chamber. Now, get a hold of this. Get a hold of this. Put verse 36 and verse 37 together. She is in verse 36, she is full of good works and alms deed, which she did, and it came to pass in those days. What days? The days that she was doing all this for Jesus, having a wonderful time, serving God, being faithful, doing what God wanted her to do, and then out of the blue, something got in her. Something happened. Something took place in those days. No warning. She got sick. She goes in those days of being joyful in service to joyless in sorrow. Bam, right there. We don't know what happened, but the Bible's clear something happened. The Bible's very clear that something happened. Folks, we have to be careful. It's walking with God's a daily walk. That's right. Amen. The Bible said to be sober and to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Peter 5:8. Be sober, be alert, be vigilant, be active in your alertness. Don't ever let your guard down. Now, we find here, this is a physical thing that happened to her, or some sickness. But I'm not trying to add to the scriptures. But something come upon her unaware. Maybe. Again, the Bible don't say, and I'm not saying what it is, but just maybe she just was just so into whatever she's doing that she went out without a coat on. Won't hurt me today, be all right. I know this is silly, but it's the best I can do. I don't know. Maybe she said, you know, it don't matter. And she's sick. See, we joyful in service, and if we're not careful, I'm taking a spiritual analogy to this. We joyful in service, and all of a sudden we get so busy in service, we forget our relationship. Just a day. Well, I got so many people to go see today. I got so many things to do for Jesus today. I ain't praying. I can't pray today. I can't pray right now. And if we're not careful, we'll lean that way, and we'll lean that way, and we'll lean that way, and then that joyful in service becomes an aggravation, because now we're doing it through the energy of the flesh, and the flesh gets weak trying to serve God within itself. The flesh hates that. And I'm speaking from experience. You try to go on just, well, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and it becomes a task. You're trying to keep up in your own flesh and your own energy with your own intellect, you'll be burnt out. Burned out. You understand, folks, there's a reason. Now, I need to practice what I'm preaching here. I know that. There's a reason the Lord told disciples, let's come apart for a while. Had an old preacher tell me this, several of them, several older preachers used to tell me this. If, problem, if you don't come apart, you're going to come apart. If you don't come apart, you're going to come apart. And that's the truth. That's the truth. Sometimes I try to come apart, Brother Jonathan, and I can't get away. My mind won't detach. Now, I'm not looking for a bragging. That's a rebuke to me. It's like I've got to keep my hands on her. It's going to go all to pieces. The contrary. The more my hands is on it, the worse it might get. The more I'm trying to do it within my own strength, might get bad. I don't know what it was, but in those days, everything's wonderful. Man, she's serving, she's helping people, she's been a blessing, and then bam, she fell sick. We got to be careful. I've got to be careful. You've got to be careful. Very careful. Folks, I'm going to preach serving the Lord. As a pastor, that is my duty. Because God has chosen us as His medium, as His way to carry on His work and give the gospel. And if we dry up and be quiet, nobody else is going to pick up the mantle. God's give that mantle to the church. God's give that mantle to us. He didn't give it to the government. He didn't give it to the school system. He gave it to us. Now I'll go ahead and tell you this. It's my opinion. But the government, the school system might be in the shape it's in today because the church is not doing what it's supposed to. But if we're not careful, we'll get to running this thing and running our lives and trying to serve God through the energy of ourselves. It'll never work. It'll never work. Now notice this. She got sick. She got weak. She couldn't do as much. And with that, I'm sure she lost her smile. She lost her zeal. The Bible says she died. That's a picture of uselessness. Now again, I'm not trying to add to the scriptures, but when she got sick, I don't read where she done anything about it. She didn't make a move to correct it. I'm not saying she didn't. I believe it happened pretty fast anyway. But yet, we find her, she gets weak, which has to take her zeal. I mean, she don't feel good in her own self. She's still trying to work through it. She's never done anything about it. She never stops and says, I got to do something for myself here. I got to do business with God, spiritually, I'm talking. And then she got useless. And then the Bible said they laid her in her upper chamber. In other words, she became a castaway. Put on a shelf. She got put on a shelf. Because we're not careful. And we try to serve God through ourselves. Then we may go from joyful to joyless. The prophet said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Israel had no joy. They had no strength because they had no joy. You know why they didn't have no joy? Because they were backslid. In other words, the word backsliding is a biblical word, but you won't find it in the New Testament. You won't find it in the churches. You'll find it amongst Israel. When God used that word, he's talking, every time he's talking to Israel. He's talking to Israel. We just make an application here. In other words, they wasn't serving God. They quit serving God. They was bent to the world, and they got backslid on God. And you know what you found? You found them sick with chastisement. Let me go on. Two more. I'm finished, I promise. So we see her joyful in service. We see her joyless in Cyrus. Look at verse number 39. Here is a very important one right here. In verse number 39, we find her jeopardizing the saints. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. Listen now. And all, A-L-L, I don't know how many it was, but it was all of them. All the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Hey, she was their leader. And while she was alive, they were vibrant. And they were working and serving. But when Peter gets there, the Bible said they're just standing. That's right. Ain't that what he said? He said, and all the widows stood by him weeping. In other words, they're not doing nothing, and they're crying. They're weeping, they're mourning, they're upset, they're confused. You said, preacher, I don't think I'd have that kind of effect on others. You don't say that. Don't say that. Since I've been a pastor, I've seen people that once stood strong for God and served God, and then I see the world get a hold of them, they get out of the will of God, and I have seen it gradually take others out of church. I've seen it. Is that right, preacher? I didn't say it was right. I'm just saying it's a fact. It happens. Well, bless the Lord. If everybody left, I wouldn't leave. You don't know that. And some wouldn't. Some of you are stronger than that, but not these widows. They weren't strong. They may not have been saved long. They may not have been in church long. And this woman was their example. And man, they was learning so much from her. Can you imagine? While they're sewing and they're watching her and they're serving with her, she may have taught them the song Amazing Grace. You know what she might have said? She might start singing some of the Psalms. That's what they sung. Teaching them the songs. Her joy, they had joy. Man, it was a beautiful thing. But now, because right in the middle of all this, she got sick. And she died, she's useless, she's on a shelf, and now other saints of God, they had stopped working. All the widows stood. They lost their way. They were weeping. They pointed out her witness, showing the coats and the garments she had made. Look what she did. What happened? I mean, look how the Lord was using her. I can't believe this. Look how the Lord was using her life. Look. And now, church, I say this in fear and in trembling. Because especially with preachers, and you young preachers, when you pastor, you'll understand some of this. There'll be days, there'll be Mondays, you say, Lord, I'm done with this. I don't want no more of this. I talk to preachers all the time, and they'll say, how many times you quit on Monday? I said, well, not all of them, but a few. And by Monday evening, God's touched you and rebuked you a little and let you know that, you know, he went through worse than you did. There's people that God has put in your life for you to be a help and a blessing to. Now, if you're not sober and you're not diligent and you get out of the will of God, that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt people. I mean, folks, she's jeopardizing, she's injuring the saints of God. He's pointing out, how could this be? How could this be? Just the other day, man, we was in here singing and praising God and making coach and being a blessing. And, man, it was just a wonderful time. And then, bam, she's out. She's out. Be careful. Be careful. But I'm glad that this story doesn't end here. Aren't you glad that I don't say everybody stand at this point? God still can restore. Failure is not final. So we go from finding her joyful in service, to find her joyless in sorrows, to find her jeopardizing the saints. But now in verse 40 and 41, we find her joining to serve. Look at verse 40 and 41. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. All right? They're weeping. The widows are burdened. What in the world got her restored? Three things. Prayer, verse 40. Peter prayed. The word of God and a helping hand. Him speaking is a picture of the word of God. He prayed, he spoke, and he helped her. Folks, if you see somebody that was once on fire for God, once making a difference for the cause of Christ, whether preaching, teaching, singing, serving, witnessing, and something happened. Now, folks, the first thing we're going to say is they should have been stronger Christians than that. Be careful. Be very careful. Oh, they should have been stronger than that. Well, I should have been stronger in some areas too. Peter didn't go in there and point the finger at her. He didn't go in there and say, there ain't no hope for her. As a matter of fact, it didn't take but one to believe God could raise her up. Them widows didn't thank God to raise her up. They brought Peter in there. They didn't, you know, they're all pieces. He said, y'all go on out there. Y'all go outside. I've heard all this babbling. I'm on here crying, carrying on. Go on outside. And he kneeled down. That's humility. He prayed for. He prayed for. He didn't go outside with those widows and talk about her like a dog. And put her down like a dog. And tell them she had them fooled. He never discussed anything. He said, y'all going outside. And verse 40, Peter went forth and knelt down and prayed, turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. There's prayer and there's the word. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Nothing we'll get a backslidden Christian moving again like prayer and the Word. Prayer and the Word. Not my opinion, not my advice, not what I think about it. People have the gift of gab and then go around the world and make you sound wonderful about what your problem is, but they don't know one verse to tell you. And they themselves hadn't prayed right in 6 months, but they know what to tell you. Don't listen to that crowd. I don't care how good it sounds. And if you know you ain't reading your Bible, you ain't praying, don't give people advice like you do know. Because what'll get people moving again is prayer and the Word of God. And when she sat up, it's a picture. God's doing a work. God's done a work. God's done a work. Peter gave her his hand. And she's back on her feet. She's back on her feet. And he presented her alive. He presented her alive. See, failure is not final. Let me give you this in closing. What was the result of Dorcas being revived? Well, in verse 42, there was a testimony. It was known throughout all Joppa what God had done for her. Jews require a sign. He's raised up a Gentile. Boy, there's a message right there. Verse number 42. And it was known throughout all Joppa. And not only was there testimony, the word going out, there was transformation. And because of that, many believed in the Lord. Many believed in the Lord. People got right with God. Other people got right with God. Other people got, you know what they were saying? If the Lord can change her and help her, he can help me. He can help me. Many people got right with God. Again, I say this, you may be in a place in your Christian life that you are someone that can say, I used to do this. Now, I'm not talking about if you feel unable. We're talking about spiritually now. We're talking about spiritual. We're making a spiritual. I'm talking about spiritual, not physical, spiritual. Well, I used to do this, and I used to do that. Well, what's happened? What's happened? You know that Dorcas could have said, well, one of them widows come in here and sneezed on me. It's her fault. I'm on the shelf now. I went down there and gave a homeless man a coat, and he barfed on me. It's his fault. Preacher, I'm tired of people doing me wrong. Well, who ain't? But the Lord didn't do it. The Lord's never done me wrong. The Lord's never done you wrong. Folks, he could have let me die and went to hell and still been just. Still been God. Lord don't owe me anything. Not one thing does the Lord owe me or you. Get that mentality out of your mind of somebody owes you something. Nobody don't owe you anything. Right. Well, we owe you prayer and encouragement and strength. But if someone, and I'm not saying it don't hurt. I'm not belittling your problems. But folks, God didn't do it. The Lord didn't do it. Yes, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I got it. Trust me, I got it. Do I have it? But it was mentioned yesterday about Jeremiah. I ain't preaching again. I ain't speaking his name again. He wasn't thinking about that fire kindled up in him. He wasn't thinking about that. He said, it won't burn out. It won't go out. You talk about the weeping prophet. All thing he ever done was obey God, and they hated him, put him in prison, wanted him dead. And for a moment of time, he tried to blame it on the Lord. The Lord said, no, we ain't gonna do that. He's just like a fire in my bones. Hey, I don't know why you're saying tonight, well, I used to be, and I used to do, and I used to be. Hey, I don't, but whatever the reason is, it's not a good one. It's not a good one. So can I say something to you? I worked in the plant for 10 years. Well, I worked in the plant longer than that. I worked in two different places, but one for 10 years. And there was much backstabbing going on in that place, you wouldn't believe it. People lying on you. People talking dirty about you. People, you know, hating your guts. But I still seem to work 50 and 60 hours a week over there. Every week. Why? Because I needed you. I needed to. I had to have it. Folks, church ain't serving. God's no different. Oh, yeah, they're going to be some hypocrites. They're going to be some very selfish people in church thinking nobody but themselves. They're going to tie you down. But keep coming. Keep serving God. Amen. Hey, your reward's in heaven.
That's right.
God sees all that. He sees all that. Just keep going. Keep going. Keep praying. Say, Lord, I need your strength today. I need you. Lord, give me joy. Give me grace. But don't get down and out. Don't fall out. Don't fall out. The first thing, how you know, preacher, I've lived it more than once. And I'm telling you, the very first thing when something negative comes across your service for God or church, the first thing you're going to hear is quit. Quit. And folks, I'll be honest with you, Baptist folks are some of the sorriest people that ever walked. And some of them, they're mean. Some of them's mean. I could tell you some stories. Miss Ann, you could tell some too, couldn't you? But you didn't quit, did you? Preacher man didn't quit. We've been compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses, Hebrews 11. People that suffered and died for the cause of Christ, but they didn't quit. Now, this is something you can't do with your own self. Our flesh is too weak for that. We get hurt and we get burdened and we get upset. But Jesus paid it all, and He's worth it.
Amen. That's
right. It'll be worth every mile. It'll be worth every trial. It'll be worth every valley we walk through. It'll be worth everything that we face in His dear name.
That's right.
It'll be worth it all when we see His face.
Amen.
Help me, Lord. Help me. Let's all stand. Come on, Courtney. Altar's open.